Greetings. Welcome to our Rewind Gathering from Believer City Church here in Menominee, Wisconsin. And I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead pastor here at Believer's Church. And we are rewinding Hebrews chapter 4. Today, a message entitled Lost from Sunday, November 24th, 2024. And we want to thank you for being with us today. We are broadcasting locally on 101.7 FM. Street level radio and internationally via the internet, and you may even be watching us today on TV here in the state of Wisconsin. But no matter who you are and how you're connected to us today, we want you to know that we are glad that you are here.
Without a map or compass, a man may find himself lost in the depths of life's wilderness, unable to discern the path that leads to safety and salvation. Like a traveler with no sense of direction, he roams through towering trees, unaware of the dangers lurking in the shadows. Without the guiding light of God's eternal truth, he is lost in the labyrinth of his own confusion, stumbling through a darkness of his own making. He searches desperately for purpose, significance, a voice to calm the doubts that plague his mind. But without the moral compass of God's Word, the search for navigating life's journey is in vain. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to God's commandments that he can find his way out of the wilderness and into the promised land of eternal life.
On Sunday, if you were with us, we talked some about Gus, the Emperor Penguin that missed a turn somehow and ended up not at his folks for Thanksgiving, but rather on a beach in Australia, 2,000 miles off course. Now, to us, I think that would seem pretty funny, but I bet it wasn't for Gus. I'm consistently amazed at not only how many of us spiritually lose our way in that kind of manner, but moreover, just how far a person can actually get off course before he or she even realizes, or maybe acknowledges anyway, that they are off course. Prideful, stubborn. These words don't even begin to grasp the picture, really. Indeed, these things are our worst enemies, really. For two chapters now, we have dug into what is an ongoing issue throughout the book of Hebrews, this issue of rest. Verse 6 of our text this week states clearly that, quote, "It remains that some must enter it," end quote. Therefore, it is evident that this thing, this event, this experience still waits for some of us. Therefore, it would greatly behoove us, obviously, to get a grasp on this matter in our understanding and then go on and purchase a pair of big boy pants to see it through. I spoke on Sunday about the spiritual Peter Pan syndrome. Something that seems to afflict an entire age of believers, a generation of young adults, and perhaps even beyond that, that are spiritually, effectively, symbolically still living in their parents' basement, playing video games, watching porn, while the best years of their lives sail right on by. Oh, many of them believe, quote unquote, at least in the strictest use of that word, as our Hebrews account entails, They too were rescued out of the bondage of Egypt, our spiritual picture of the world. But I don't think that was really any difficulty. I mean, they just needed to accept this free offering for freedom, just like we do, and then get on that train leaving Egypt. And that all went all right. Well, right up until it no longer did. Right up until they came to the River Jordan, that boundary edge of the promised land. And now they had to man up. They had to put some sweat and effort into it. They had to cross the river and they had to fight. And it's right there that so many of us just effectively just throw on the brakes and step back. No, not all the way back to Egypt necessarily, but certainly back to the vast wasteland of benign gray, back to the sleepy, pointless sands of lethargy, going nowhere, doing nothing. Now, probably, inevitably, there's this distant idea in our minds at that point that one day, someday, we're going to do something tangible and we're going to do something meaningful. But, you know, we won't. Because, well, that would require some effort and some discipline. And we have none of either of those things. So we, like the untold thousands and thousands of Israel that was all freed from Egypt back in that account, we will wander aimlessly around in sandy circles, going nowhere until we are dead. All of them. And all who followed, still standing outside of the next blessing that God wants to take us to. That indeed place of giants, walled cities, enemy attacks and war. But it's also a place of milk and honey and miraculous experiences and manifest hand of God, purpose, meaning, and wholeness. Ultimately, a place of spiritual adulthood where we take our place and purpose and our plans of God, a place where we can live out the very reason for which we were redeemed. On Sunday, I spoke about how the world we live in today is truly one of the best proof texts here, the best smoking gun, if you will, as to the truth and the reality of this passage and this message. I mean, the wandering in the wilderness is killing the church and destroying a generation of believers. Perhaps we too are going to have to cling to the original account of this and hope that the end of the story will happen again. You know, we're in the next generation, it came around and they wanted nothing to do with the milquetoast religion and meaningless living of that present generation. And when they came up to the River Jordan, they were quite willing to move into the promises of God. Yes, into all the battles, and yes, all of the miraculous. Today we've embraced a cultural Christianity that is in truth and not a Christianity at all. It's the Gumby version that stretches and bends the reality of Christ to fit our politics and our social imperatives and our material wants and our emotional demands. The bottom line is we want out of Egypt, but we want nothing to do with the costs. Nothing to do with the discipline and the commitment of living across the river over in the land of promise. Thus it remains that many still have not known this quote-unquote rest of God. Now the writer of our passage in Hebrews uses the term diligent, and indeed that word encompasses really everything here today. For diligence is not something that most believers are willing to embrace in 2024. In our compartmentalized faith, we tend to punch in and punch out of the religious world that we live in, depending on the situation, depending on the degree of difficulty, depending on even the magnitude of the desire for the sin that we want. Our passage says that the problem in all of this was that God's word was not mixed with faith by those who heard it. I mean, they knew what God had said. They knew what he had promised. And likely, it wasn't that they didn't believe God could do it. I mean, they'd seen his hand played out. They'd seen the parting of the Red Sea. It wasn't that. It was probably because they didn't believe that they could do it. I mean, after all, there were giants in the land. There were walled cities over there. How in the world were they going to take those people over there? How are they going to take those guys? But you see, it's there that they missed a point, because they weren't going to take those guys. God was. Faith isn't about what you can do, Christian. It's about trusting God to do what he does. It's about trusting God to do in you and through you. The writer wrote, "Let us hold fast to our confession." Man, I wish sometimes I had a tape recorder over the last 35 years to record some of the conversations that I have been part of, to memorialize the things that I have literally heard from the mouths of people as a pastor here. The praise of God, the testimony to God's personal grace and love in that individual. And yet still, somehow, somewhere along the way, so many eventually just sat it all down. All of it now just cluttering the shores of the River Jordan. All their praises, all their promises, all their tears of joy. You know, the writer began this chapter with a warning, saying, "Let us fear that any of us have come short. Let us fear that any of us have come short of the goal." That's some pretty extreme language, don't you think? I mean, fear. Let us fear. Indeed. For the possibility of this occurring in our lives should make us cringe in fear because of the cost. The cost is eternal. Galatians 5:7 really says it all. Paul, the apostle writing there, says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?"